Verse number 15, we'll look at just one verse, review a little bit of what we talked about last week, and then get into some new material this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. Paul is writing to the young Bible student, Timothy, the man that he had left as pastor of the church at Ephesus. And he says to this young pastor, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We mentioned it last week that when it comes to reading the Bible casually is something that every Christian should do. And I posted something the other day online. Every time I'm reading my Bible, it seems like every day I come across a verse that applies to current situations in the world right now. Isn't that an amazing thing? A Bible that is 2,000, a New Testament that's 2,000 years old, an Old Testament that's 3,500 years old, and yet we're reading something, and what we read that day, let me give you the example if you didn't see. Look at Isaiah chapter 1. And here's what I was reading, I don't know, it was yesterday or day before. Thinking of the current world situations and trends, and here's what was written by the prophet Isaiah 700 years before Christ. So approximately 2,700 years ago, Isaiah said this in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 4, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They are gone away backward." Now I know he wrote that 2,700 years ago, but that could be written today. That verse is just as practical today when we look at our society as it was then. Look down at verse number 9. "Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah." I appreciate God's Word, because when you're reading daily and devotionally and casually, God will always give you something that will help you in that day. And so we understand that the Bible is to be read from cover to cover, devotionally, casually. But let me say above and beyond that, the Bible is a book that is to be studied. And that's what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. You and I should not only casually read and purview the Bible, but there should be times where we actually dig into it and study it. He said, study a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. That tells me that the Bible not only is fit for the 9, 10, and 11, and 12-year-old in Sunday school, but it's fit for the educated, intellectual adult in the church. This book is like no other book that's ever been written. And there are folks that give their lives to studying law books or history books or economics books or all that, and not disparaging that to the nth degree, but just saying this, those books compare nothing to this one right here. This book is given not only to be read, but it's given to be studied and to be a workman. The Bible says, rightly dividing the word of truth. The reason Christianity is so confused is because they want to be lazy. They want to be loafers. They want to just read the Bible and expect everything to apply to them and for them right now. And when you do that, you're going to end up in a mess. If everything you read in the Bible you try to take as your own, then you ought to be out in your backyard building an ark right now. Because God said, go out and find some gopher wood and build an ark. Why don't you do it? We talked about it last week. Because that wasn't written to you. So we need to discern in the Bible what's written to us and what is not written to us. It's all written for us, but it's not all written to us. We talked last week about the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi, and can we say none of that was written to us? It was all written to an exclusively Jewish people. If a Gentile, if one of us wanted to worship the God of heaven, we had to convert to Judaism. You had to become a Jew in the Old Testament to become a worshiper of the right God. It was available, but not without conversion, not just to a different religion, but to a different ethnic background. If you're my age, you remember guys like Sammy Davis Jr. who claimed that they converted to Judaism or that they were Jewish. In the Old Testament, you had to do that to be under the blessing of God. What did they do? They had to make the animal sacrifices. They had to bring the meal offerings. They had all those tedious things of the law and the priesthood of Aaron and all those things involved the Old Testament. If you don't know how to separate the Old Testament from the New, you're going to be practicing Old Testament religion. But God said to be a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. So we know that the Old Testament times were for Old Testament people. When you go out into this world right now, you're not going to run into Jeremiah. You're not going to see Daniel or Ezekiel or one of the Old Testament saints. Those days are over. So we come to that blank page, as we talked about last week, between Malachi and Matthew. That blank page, historically, identifies with 400 years of silence. Between the last word of Malachi, before God gave the first word of Genesis, there were 400 years to which He did not speak at all. Why was God being silent? Well, because He was preparing them to hear. When there's a long period of silence, the next words spoken are going to be very valuable. And so God did not speak for 400 years so that when He did, people would pay attention and listen. And when He spoke, He said there would be a child born to a woman named Mary who was a virgin, and that child to be born would be the Savior of the world. So now we enter a new time. We enter what we're going to call the Gospels. And let me say this in preview tonight. The Gospels are not for you either. The Gospel is a continuation of the Old Testament. When we get to the Gospels in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, think of it this way. There have been very little changes from the Old Testament. They are still worshiping in the temple on the Sabbath. The seventh day is still the day of rest for them, not the first day as it is for you and I in the New Testament. They're still under the Old Testament economy. We find Zacharias in the Gospel of Luke in the temple burning the incense. He's doing what they did in the Old Testament. The Gospels are a continuation of the Old Testament. We find them worshiping on the Sabbath day. We find them obeying the dietary laws of the law of Moses. We find them exclusively giving the commandments of God to the Jewish people. Now this is something important to recognize. Let's go back now to those Gospels and let's look at this. Look at Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 6. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 6. Things that are different, here's a golden rule, things that are different are not the same. And the Gospels are not the same as the epistles of Paul. There's a different message. There's a different theme. It's for a different time. And when we don't rightly divide those things and separate them, we get messed up in our theology and in our doctrine. Notice in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 5, the names of the 12 disciples are given, the 12 apostles in verse 2 to 4. And in verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know what the message was throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Don't talk to Gentiles. Only go to the Jew. Don't talk to Gentiles. That was the law of the Gospels. It was a continuation of the law of the Old Testament. And throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you don't read, with one rare exception, you don't read about any Gentiles coming to Christ. It's all exclusively Jewish. Now, the reason that's important to remember is because next week, or next time, we're going to move on from the Gospels to the book of Acts. And when you get to the book of Acts, you know what you find out at the beginning? It's exclusively Jewish. It doesn't change it doesn't change to Gentile until long after that, after Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, is saved, converted, and begins his message. Up till that point, it's all strictly Jewish. Be careful in getting your doctrine from something that is strictly Jewish. And that's going to go from the Old Testament through the Gospels and halfway through the book of Acts. So we find in chapter 10 and verse number 6, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was the Lord's command to His disciples. Now turn over in Matthew to chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And verse number 24. Here is a Gentile woman that came to Christ, and I mentioned the one exception in the Gospels, and this is that. But notice when she came beseeching Him to heal her daughter, His disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Jesus answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus Himself said, I am not come for the Gentile. I'm come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The disciples were sent to Israel. Jesus came for Israel. It's strictly Israel in the Gospels. The message is for Israel. The church has not yet begun in the Gospels. It doesn't begin until the book of Acts. Now, the important thing to note in that, why would a church go for doctrine in the Gospels that are not written for the church? If the church doesn't begin till the Gospels are over, why would the church today say, well, we're going to practice what it says in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? It wasn't written to the church. It's all written for us to learn, but it's not written to us. So we don't go to Mark chapter 16 to get our doctrine. We don't go to Matthew chapter 24 to get our doctrine. It's not to us. The church has not yet begun. Well, what are they preaching? Look at Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 1. Again, this is not fluff. This is not, if I can say it this way, David killing Goliath. This is workmen rightly dividing the word of truth. We don't get our doctrine from the Old Testament. We don't make animal sacrifices. We don't do the things written there. We don't get it from the Gospels. It's not for us. Who is it for? Well, we know it's for the Jew. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness saying, repent ye, notice this, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did John the Baptist preach? Did he preach the gospel of Christ? Did he preach the death, burial, and resurrection? He preached the kingdom of heaven. Can I say this, and we'll look further into this so we can get it clear, but here's our landmark. In the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, nobody is preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. They're preaching the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus came, they were expecting a kingdom. They were looking for a king. They weren't looking for a crucified Savior. Now, I know there are verses in the Old Testament that promised that He would die. Isaiah 53, Psalm 22. But as we're going to see in a moment, the Pharisees weren't thinking of those verses. His own disciples weren't thinking of those verses. They were all looking for a Messiah, not a crucified Savior. And when John the Baptist came, he came preaching not the death, burial, and resurrection, but the kingdom of heaven. You know what the Gospels are? They're preparation for the kingdom. They're readiness for the kingdom. When you read Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children, the sons of God. You're not reading about something somebody's supposed to be quoting today and telling you today. That's not to you. When somebody says, oh, if you say that person's a fool, you're in danger of hellfire damnation. That's not to you. Rightly divide the Word of God. Know what is for us and what's not for us. That's all for people in preparation of the kingdom. That's in the Gospels. I really believe this will help you. If you write down these thoughts in your mind or in a piece of paper, and next time you're reading through the Bible, you understand that everything in the Gospels was written to convince the Jew that Jesus was the Messiah. That's what the Gospels are for, to convince the Jew that Jesus was the Messiah and to prepare them for the kingdom when it came. John the Baptist was preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm not preaching that. That's not Paul's message. Look at, keep your place there, but look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, Paul in his epistles never said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's not what he preached. That one who wrote 14 books of the New Testament. What did he preach? Well, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18, Paul said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to them which are saved is the power of God. Paul is preaching the cross, not the kingdom of God. The cross. See the difference between the message of the Gospels and the message of the epistles of Paul in the church age. They were preaching the kingdom of God. It's at hand. Jesus is there on earth. If you'll repent, the kingdom of heaven is right here, right now. That was the message to the Jew in the Gospels. Therefore, God gave to those apostles some very unusual abilities and gifts and signs and miracles to prove to the nation of Israel that their Messiah was here. And those apostles that had those gifts, when those apostles died, those gifts died also. But we've got folks today wanting to go back to the Gospels. Go back to the handling the snakes. Go back to drinking poisonous things. And go back. It's not to you. It's not the same message. He's preaching the kingdom of heaven. We're preaching the cross. Look what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians in verse number 23. But we preach Christ crucified. John the Baptist didn't. The apostles didn't. Not till Peter on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts. Throughout the Gospels, they weren't preaching Christ crucified. They didn't think that's why he was coming. Look back, if you would, in the Gospels again with that in mind, understanding that. Go back to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse number 14. When you're reading through the Gospels in your casual Bible reading, understand, when you're reading those four Gospels, you're reading a message of preparation for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. What is that kingdom? Well, that's that one that's coming yet when the Lord comes down to this earth and sits on the throne of David and rules and reigns for 1,000 years. In the Gospels, he was preparing the Jew for that time. He was coming down to set up, to prepare them and give them the message of the kingdom of God, not the gospel of the grace of God, which we preach right now. Different times, different people, different message. In Mark chapter 1, look at verse number 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came unto Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. It's a gospel kingdom message. When we see the word gospel, we are thinking automatically of death, burial, and resurrection. But the word gospel, as you know it, means good news. And when John the Baptist came, he was preaching the good news of the kingdom. When Jesus came, he was preaching the good news of the kingdom. Look at Matthew chapter 24. And verse number 14. Here again in the Gospels is a preview of that message that will be preached yet future in Matthew 24 and verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So that kingdom gospel is something that was proclaimed while Jesus was here on earth. It's put on hold when the Jews rejected him. And it will come into play again at the end of time, the gospel of the kingdom. Not wanting to get ahead of ourselves, the gospels proclaim that kingdom. The book of Acts transitions us into the epistles of Paul that are about the coming age and about the church. Then as we mentioned last week, when we get to the epistle to the Hebrews, we're going back to the Gospels, back to the Old Testament, back to a message that's predominantly Jewish from Hebrews and James to the end of the Bible. So the gospel is the Gospels are written for the Jew because the disciples were not preaching the cross. They were preaching the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Notice it told us that the Lord was preaching that. It told us that John the Baptist was preaching that. Look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. The apostles were given the ability to heal people. When the apostles died, that gift died also. The apostles were given that ability because their message was to a Jew trying to show to them that Jesus Christ was their Messiah. When the Jew rejected that message, then God turned to the Gentile, turned to the church, and from there went forward. But the message of the Gospels was to the Jew. The gifts of healing were to the Jew. Look back. You don't have to turn there. Write it down. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. The Greeks seek after wisdom, but the Jews require a sign. All of these signs that you read about in the Gospels, they were for the Jew. For the nation of Israel to believe that their Messiah was here on earth. Now here's the problem. You turn on the tube, and you see some guy there slapping people in the forehead, sticking fingers in their ears to get the foul and evil spirits to come out, waving their jacket around, doing a Darth Vader or something where they put their hand out there and people fall backward. You know what? That's counterfeiting the Jewish message of the Gospels. That's what they did to prove that Christ was the Messiah and the kingdom of God was at hand. The kingdom of God is not at hand now. You know what Jesus said? The kingdom of God is within you. It's within you. It's a whole different message at a different time to different people. And when folks take those gospel words, gospel message of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and try to apply them today, they get all messed up in their doctrine. Jesus went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Look at Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 35. This is separate from the one in Matthew 4:23, but in Matthew 9:35 we see a continuation. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. That's not the preaching of the cross. That's not the preaching of Christ. That's the gospel of the kingdom. Healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So we find John the Baptist preaching the kingdom. Jesus Christ in the Gospels preaching the kingdom. Notice in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. We read this at the beginning. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse 7, And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know what the disciples, the apostles were doing during the life of Christ? They were telling the Jewish nation that their Messiah was here. Not their crucified Savior. Their Messiah. They were preaching the kingdom was at hand. You know how we know that? Because we understand that the disciples had no understanding whatsoever of Jesus Christ coming to die. It's easy for us right now to read that into the past. But if we understand the Old Testament, looking for a Messiah come to set up a kingdom, if we understand the Gospels, the whole preaching there, John the Baptist, Jesus, the apostles, everybody's preaching about a kingdom of heaven, a kingdom of God that's at hand right now. There's a kingdom to be set up. Then we understand they weren't looking for Jesus to die. We get further proof of that as we look throughout the Word of God. Look back at Matthew. I'm looking for my notes on this really fast. There we go. Matthew chapter 16. My hope is, and this is what happened last Sunday night, when I was done with that Old Testament thing, I had folks asking me questions. We had the Watermelon Fellowship and went down for that, but folks were up here asking questions about it. During the week on Wednesday night, folks were asking questions about it. And that thrills my heart. That's the whole purpose of this, to get us to think about this. I'm not force-feeding you this. I'm not sure. I want you to take it and digest it. I want you to write it down next to your Bible, and as you're reading through it, I know that this will help clear up a lot of problems that you have when you get to verses in the Bible that people misuse and twist, and you say, wait a minute, where does that fit in? It all fits in somewhere. It's just folks aren't rightly dividing the Word of God. Don't take the things of the gospel and apply them to the things of the church. It's about the kingdom of God. Now, I know what you're thinking right now, and hang on till we get to the end. Because the church, the writings of Paul are the hub of the wheel, and there are spokes that go out from there. I'm not saying you can't take John chapter 3 and say you must be born again. There are things in the Gospels that you can still use, but they have to come from the right hub. They can't be used separately from that. Look here at Matthew chapter 16, talking about how the message of the kingdom was that which was proclaimed during the life of Christ. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Now notice, first of all, there's the gospel as we know it, as Paul wrote about it in 1 Corinthians 15. This is the gospel I've delivered unto you, that Christ was that Christ was crucified, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day. There it is in verse 21. You say, see, Peter knew about it. The apostles knew about it. They knew about it in that time. This is all error. It's all wrong because they knew about it. Look at verse 22. But Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Now, Peter is a good fellow, is he not? He was the leader of the apostles while the Lord was on earth, and even the leader of the apostles in the early part of the book of Acts. And again, as we study the Gospels, we're setting up for the beginning of the book of Acts. Peter is the predominant speaker among the apostles. And you know what he said? When the Lord said, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be buried, I'm going to rise again, Peter said, no, you're not. You know why? He wasn't looking for a cross. He wasn't looking for a crucified Savior. He was looking for the kingdom of God. That's what everybody's preaching. That's what the disciples are going in. If they don't receive you, knock the dust off your feet, because they're out preaching the kingdom of God. So in Matthew chapter 16, the Lord says, I'm going to be crucified. Peter says, no, you're not. Look at Matthew chapter 17, verse number 22. Matthew 17 and verse 22, and while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. Here's the second time that Jesus told his own apostles about the crucifixion and the resurrection. And verse 22, and they were exceeding sorry. They didn't comprehend it. They didn't understand it. It wasn't in their wheelhouse, as we say in our day. They're thinking of those promises of the book of Zechariah. They're thinking of those minor prophets. They're thinking about Isaiah and Jeremiah and thinking about that kingdom of God. And here they are following the man that's going to establish that kingdom. That's all they're thinking about in the Gospels. And when Jesus says, I'm going to be killed, Peter says, no, you're not. He says it a second time, and they're saying, what in the world is he talking about? They didn't understand a crucified Lord. Thirdly, in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 17. Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the chief priests and to the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. Three times Three separate occasions. The Lord told the apostles, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be buried, I'm going to rise again. And they didn't understand it. They didn't comprehend it. So obviously, when they're out preaching in the villages and the cities, they're not preaching Christ crucified. They're preaching the gospel of the kingdom. A different message for a different people at a different time. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I went to those three in Matthew so you could see that it's not the same event three times. It's three separate events. But look, if you would, as we capitalize this, look at Luke chapter 18. And in Luke chapter 18, we're reading about this third time in Matthew 20 that the Lord told the disciples that. And notice when Luke gives us account, notice he tells us a little bit more than Matthew did right there. Luke chapter 18, verse number 31. Then he took unto them the 12. Again, this is the same as Matthew 20 that we just read. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered to the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spit upon, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and he shall rise, and the third day he shall rise again. Notice this is at the end of Christ's ministry. He's told them the third time, here's what's going to happen. Verse 34. And they understood none of these things. So is it very clear? The apostles of Christ during the Gospels are not preaching the crucifixion of Christ. They're not preaching the cross. They don't even understand it. They don't believe it. They've been told three times and they don't understand it. Verse 34 says, This saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. They have no idea of a cross. So when you're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you have to understand it. When you're reading those Gospels and the miracles and the healings and the signs and the wonders, all of these things were happening so that the Jew would recognize their Messiah was here. That's not where you live right now. You're not living behind the cross. You're not living the kingdom of God. You're living the gospel of the grace of God. Now, there were some changes that were made, and we'll kind of end with this. Look back at Matthew chapter 5. I mentioned as we began that the Gospels are a continuation of the Old Testament. We looked at it last week in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, I think it was, that without the death of a testator, the testament is still in force. So the New Testament really technically does not begin until Christ was crucified, which is at the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, that's not to say that we can't put them in the New Testament, that they're in the wrong place, but technically we understand that the New Testament does not begin, really, till the book of Acts. After Christ has been crucified, the New Covenant begins then. The New Testament begins then. But we read these Gospels, and we read a continuation of the Old Testament with some changes. You know, the only one that's allowed to make the changes is the one that instituted the law himself. Look at Matthew chapter 5. As I told you at the opening, look at verse number 3 of Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is what? The kingdom of heaven. Jesus is teaching the kingdom. That's not now. He's talking to his Jewish people on the top of the mountain, the Sermon on the Mount. He's talking to them. He's giving them the laws and the commands for the kingdom of God. There are folks all over the place that take Matthew chapter 5 and say, we're supposed to be living by these commands. They're not for you now. I'll show you an example of that in just a moment. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's not you. You're not going to inherit the earth by being meek. That's the Jewish people that will get the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, you'll hear a preacher refer to that verse in preaching about your hunger for the Word of God. Nothing wrong with that, as long as it comes off the right hub. But don't make our doctrines from there. Notice, here's why I say that. Go down to verse 21. And here's the point for it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Jesus said this, "Ye have heard that it was said of them in old time." And he's quoting Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13. "Thou shalt not kill." But notice in verse 22 he says, "But I say unto you." You know what Jesus is doing? He's preparing them for His kingdom. He's saying, you have the law of Moses. And the law of Moses was fine from Genesis to Malachi. But let me tell you something that's going to be even better for the kingdom of heaven. Moses said this, "But I say unto you." Notice how that happens in verse 27. "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery." Verse 28, "But I say unto you." I want to be careful in how I say this, but can we say the Lord is tweaking it? The Lord is taking the law of Moses, and while He's here on earth, He's making some, I hate to say the word improvements, but some changes. He said, "You have heard that it's this way, but I say unto you." Notice verse 31. "It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you." See Jesus making a change? A change for the kingdom of heaven. Verse 33, "Ye have heard that it has been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself." Verse 34, "But I say unto you." Here's what folks will do. And again, just food for thought. Think about it. Somebody go in the courtroom. They'll say, "Put your hand on the Bible and swear to God that you'll tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth." I can't do that. I'm a Christian. You know, there's nothing in the New Testament that tells you you can't do that unless you go back to the kingdom laws in Matthew. That's where it says that. "Thou shalt not forswear thyself. Swear not all by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is His footstool, neither by Jerusalem." Who here is going to swear by Jerusalem? A Jew will. A Jew would. That's not for you now. That's for the kingdom of God. Verse 38. "You have heard that it's been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you." Now let me spend just a little bit of time on this one, and we'll be done this evening. You understand the message? The Gospels are for preparing them for the kingdom of God. Now the kingdom of God is going to come in Hebrews through Revelation in our New Testament. The kingdom of God is going to come, but He was preparing them then, and there's a lot of other theology we could get into had they received Him. Had the Jewish nation received Him, they'd have gone straight into the kingdom of God. There'd have been no church age. There'd have been no Apostle Paul and road to Damascus. It'd have been Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of David, ruling and reigning. But they rejected Him. But the message during the time of the apostles was not the cross. They didn't believe it. They didn't understand it. It was hid from them. They're preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And everything we read in these gospels is for that time and that period. Notice He said in verse 38, "You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also." In the light of everything we've looked at, can you understand those verses are not written to you? They're not written for now. They're written for people in preparation of the kingdom of heaven. You and I have the kingdom of God within us. We're not going to be members of a literal earthly kingdom. The Jewish nation will. And that's their rule. You know what Jesus said to them? "You have heard that it's an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you, if a man hits you on the right side, turn to him the left side also." Now how many people have you heard say, "That's what I'm supposed to do now"? That's not for you. Say, "Well, preacher, what's for me?" Look at Philippians. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 12. We'll get into this as we study in the future weeks a little bit more. Romans chapter 12. Here's what's written to the church. Here's what's written to us in our day. The Apostle Paul is our spokesman. The Jewish spokesman was Moses. The nation of Israel in the Gospels, it was Peter and the Apostles. Our spokesman today is the Apostle Paul. He said, "Be ye followers of me, as I am also of Christ." He's not being egotistical, but he's saying, Moses isn't for you. The apostles weren't for you. God is using me, the Apostle Paul says, to give you your doctrine now. What does he say? Does he say an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth? No. Does he say if somebody hits you on the right side, turn them the left? If somebody's after your coat, give them your car keys? What does Paul say? Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know what? That is a beautiful addendum to this process. The law said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. The kingdom says, if somebody hits you on the right side, turn the left and ask them to hit you there too. Man, I'm glad that's not for me. You know what the church is told? As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know what that means? If somebody hits you up the right side, you don't have to turn them the left side and ask them to do it then too. You know what it means? If somebody's breaking in your house, you're allowed to defend yourself. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. But there are folks today, on the basis of Matthew 5, on the basis of the laws for the kingdom, that say, well, I'm not to fight for anything. You know, I have trouble with folks like that. I heard a fellow say this, well, if someone attacks your wife, what are you going to do? He said, I'll pray. I thought, somebody ought to slap you upside the head. You know what he's doing? He's going by Matthew chapter 5. He's saying, I'm not supposed to do anything. I'm not supposed to defend myself. No, Paul said, as much as lieth in you, as much as you possibly can, don't resort to violence. Don't resort to self-defense. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably among all men. But not the gospel of the kingdom. You know why? In the kingdom, Jesus Christ is right here. He's enforcing laws. And when he's right here and somebody hits you on the right side before they get a chance, you offer them the left before they can hit you, he's on the spot to take care of it. That's not the way it works right now. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Put these things down. Log them in your memory bank. Read through your Bible. Understand. And again, we're not saying don't read the Old Testament. I remember training a national pastor over on the mission field, and I was encouraging him to read the Bible. He said, well, I only read the New Testament. I don't read the Old Testament. Why? Well, because it's not for me. Oh, yes, it's for you. It's just not to you. All the stories of the Old Testament are for us. Creation, Adam and Eve, the fall in the garden, the building of the ark, as we preached on this morning, the Tower of Babel, all those things in the Old Testament are for us, but they're not to us. And if the truth be known, if you're not going to read the Old Testament, you might as well not read the Gospels either. They're not to you. But they're for us. We read about the miracles. We read about the healings. We read about the power of the Savior, of Jesus Christ. We read about the apostles and the disciples and all they can do. It's all for us, but it's not to us. Then we get to the middle of the New Testament. To the church that's here, to the church that's there, to the church that's here. That's for us. And that's what we'll get into as we continue our study in the coming Sundays. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, we thank you for your word. And God, it is amazing. And